So I don't know if this has ever happened to you, that you've stood there looking as if you're awake, but something comes out of your mouth that you're absolutely sure you forgot to connect your mouth with your brain. Has that ever happened to you? No, one or two times, right? Well, I want to share with you some actual items from Sunday bulletins. I call these Sunday bulletin bloopers. Somebody was obviously asleep when these were written. But ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a good chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to conflict. Becky will like this. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. I'm glad I'm told I feel more awake when I've left here than when I came in here. Hope I don't put you to sleep, but I love this one. Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I will not pass this away again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. And this one's my personal favorite. Missionary from India speaking at Calvary Memorial Church. Name, Bertha Belch. Man, you know where this is going. Announcement. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from India. So, staying awake, I want to make sure you were awake here, but staying awake is the greatest challenge that we have today, isn't it? The greatest challenge that we have facing us. Now, most of us know the basics, universal spiritual principles, that there's one presence and one power in this universe and in my life, we say it every Sunday, and that this divine presence lives within each one of us. We know that. We also understand that forgiveness is a requirement. It's not optional. We also know that we can create our world through the thoughts that we choose to think. And we can change our world by changing our thinking. And we also know that as we give, we receive. And so you might want to know what comes next. Well, the advanced course in spirituality is this. It's the daily practice of these principles. That's the advanced course. It's not just knowing the principles, but it's actually embodying them and working them and living them every moment of every day. You know, moment by moment, knowing that you are the light of the world. You know, we're just saying that, shine your light as God. And to know that that infinite divine potential is within you. And our specific instructions are to love God, love ourselves, and to love each other. That's what we're here to do. We're here to love, love, love everyone and ourselves, and especially God. Years ago, I'm sure they were out here on the West Coast as well, but there were these series of billboards all around the country. They were black with white lettering. One of them said, "You know that thing about love your neighbors? I meant it. God." Were those series out here? There were black billboards with white? No, they were around the South. Maybe it was a Southern thing. But it was all these messages from God. And so it doesn't really matter what spiritual path you say you're on. Whether you're a Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, agnostic, Unity, Catholic, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The one presence and the one power will reveal itself as we are willing to align with it. And so we need to know in every moment of our life that God is real and this presence is a reality and available to us all the time, every moment of our life. And so whatever your spiritual path is, I believe there are spiritual practices that we all must do. And one of the most profound and important spiritual practices, I believe, is deep listening. Deep listening. You know, it's not okay to just let the mind chatter go on. It's no longer okay to just say a 3-minute daily word in the morning and then run out the house. It's not going to cut it in today's world, because I don't know about you, but information is coming at us at light speed. Have you noticed? It's as if the VCR of history has been put into fast forward, or the DVD, the Blu-ray, whatever the newest, latest technology is. It's as if we're in this fast forward, isn't it? And not only that, but we also have at the same time, we're being infilled by this infinite love and intelligence all the time. And in order to attune to this infinite love intelligence, we need to really embody what it is to listen and to know the presence is speaking to us all the time. We need to engage in a daily, regular daily practice of listening. This is our homework every day, every moment, is that regular practice of deep listening. There was a monk walking through New York City. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to New York City, but there are millions of people, thousands of cars. It's one of the noisiest places I have ever been to. I used to live there, so I know. But as this monk was walking along with the person that he was visiting, he said, "I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "How can you hear a cricket? It's not possible. You can hardly hear yourself talk. There's so much noise." And sure enough, they went over and the monk found this little cricket. And his friend said, "How did you do that?" And the monk said, "It all depends on what you're listening for. It all depends on what you're listening for." And so we all live full and very, very busy lives. Very full. And that's why it's even more important that we listen for the voice of God in every now moment. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "The most profound awareness of God is the voice for truth that speaks to everyone all the time." So the voice of truth that speaks to everyone all the time. Each one of us is wired to hear the voice of God, but not all of us are willing to be disciplined enough to hear it, because it takes practice. It takes a discipline of going within, of taking the time, of getting up a little earlier in the morning, of spending a little bit more time at night, but listening for that still small voice, disciplining ourselves in the practice of meditation, of deep heart listening. Mary Alice and Richard Jafola wrote The Quest, which is a Unity's basic book of metaphysical principles. And they start out this quote I love by saying that God is always speaking to us, always. But when do we listen? Good question. When do you listen? Quiet yourself and listen. They continue saying, like the musicians in an orchestra, we are constantly plucking and bowing our strings, banging our drums, blowing our horns, waiting to find out what tune to play. But unlike the musicians, we may not really listen for the conductor. God speaks to you in feelings, in dreams, in intuitive perceptions, through the words of others, through the love of others, in an inspiring story, in a beautiful scene, in the gaze of a loved one, in the face of a child, and dozens of other gentle ways. But only by becoming aware of life, of living, only by being awake can you hear it. Only by being awake can you hear it. And you can, just like the monk heard the cricket, you and I can hear the voice of God. We can, and we must start listening to that voice of God. I want to share with you a true story. I think it's absolutely remarkable, about a young rookie policewoman. She went into a New Thought church in Portland, Oregon, and heard that God, the divine voice of infinite love and intelligence, speaks directly to you every moment. And she wasn't sure she believed any of it, which may be how you might feel right now. I'm not sure any of this works. Sounds interesting. But she said, just in case it's possible, just in case it's true, Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you one day. So she got in her patrol car and she had the 3 to 11 p.m. shift. And she said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm here for you. Tell me what I need to know today. Place me where you need me to be. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Well, she went about her shift. There was nothing unusual happened. And she started to head back to the police station. And in Portland, there's a river running down the middle of the city. There's a series of bridges, every mile or so crossing from one side to the other. And there are at least a dozen bridges throughout Portland. She came to the first bridge that she always took back to the station. And she heard the voice for the first time. Don't turn. Keep going. She got God bumps and kept going. She came to the next bridge, put on her blinker, and started to turn. But the voice said, keep going. She came to the next bridge. Keep going. The fourth bridge, she made the turn. And as she crossed the bridge, there was a car parked halfway across the bridge. And she pulled up behind the car and she got out. She went over to talk to the man in the car. And when she looked in, she saw there was a woman next to him and a baby in the back seat. She asked the man if everything was okay, and he mumbled, yeah, yeah, yeah. She looked over at the woman who said, he's going to jump. And in that moment, that policewoman noticed that the man outweighed her by at least 100 pounds. And she realized that if he decided to jump, there wasn't going to be much she could do about it. So she said right there, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. And the policewoman asked the man, is the baby in the back seat yours? And he said, yes. And she continued, I just want to tell you what it would have meant to me in my life if I had a dad. When I was growing up, I didn't have a dad with me. I didn't have anybody to coach me in soccer. I didn't have anybody to help me with my homework. I just need you to know it would have made a huge difference. I don't know what your life is like, but I do know that there's one person whose life will be forever different if you decide to stay on this planet. You can make a difference for that little girl. The man started to cry, and he cried, and she could hear his agony. The depths of his soul had been touched, and the pain started pouring out. She continued, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. And the Holy Spirit said, shut up. Sometimes the greatest gift we give someone is to simply to be present as they allow the depths of their pain to come up. As they allow, you know, the pain of the past to be released and the wounding of this journey. And he cried and he cried, and it felt like hours to her, but of course it was probably only 5 or 10 minutes of clock time. But when he was done, she found herself asking him if he'd like to get in the patrol car with her and talk. And he did, and he poured out his heart to her. His story of Vietnam, of his friends who were lost, of the lives that were destroyed, of the drugs and the pain, of coming home to America and not being welcomed back, of being lost and not being able to work, of the pain and the shame. And this young woman, not knowing if she believed anything she heard in that New Thought church, heard herself saying, I don't know, but I do know something. I do know there's a plan for your life. And I know there's a God that loves you. And I know there's help for you. And I want you to promise me you'll get that help. And he made that promise that he would find that help. Now, we'll never know if he really did or not. But as he got out of the patrol car, she said to him, she said, "You need to know one thing. That on whatever bridge you are on tonight, I would have found you. I would have found you." And so as you surrender to the Holy Spirit, when you say, "God, here I am. Okay, God, I'm only here for you. I'm only here to truly be helpful. Where do you want me to go? Show me how this whole thing works." And when you have no agenda, the Holy Spirit can place you exactly where you need to be. When you have no agenda, the Holy Spirit can help you heal lives and heal hearts. All we need to do is to listen, and then to follow the guidance that we receive. That policewoman could have made the turn, that first turn, as she always did, to head back to the police station. She could have taken the second bridge. She could have taken the third bridge. She could have said, "Why do I have to wait for the fourth bridge?" But that divine impulse that is within you knows exactly where you need to be and what you need to do. And our job is to listen. Our job is to listen and then to follow that voice. That's our job. To listen and to follow that voice of God. Those little nudgings, you know, those whisperings, those inner impulses, you know what I'm talking about. That says, "Go here, do this, this is the way, make this turn, don't go there, go here." And we don't just do it for ourselves, we do it for each other. You know, to be alive, alert, awake, and conscious to every now moment. Because we're here for God. That's our first purpose. We're here for God. We're here to keep love flowing. We're here to be the love of God, no matter what's going on in the world out there. You know, goodness knows we don't need to get any busier. What we need to do is get quiet and still. We need to get more conscious and more awake. And so here's my assignment for you this week, should you choose to accept it. It's to take one day, just like the policewoman did. Take one day, whether you believe this stuff or not, but just on the outer chance that it could be true, I want you to take one day and give it over to God. Wake up and say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm here for you. I'm not sure if I believe this, but I'm going to give myself to you today. Tell me what to do. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do." And then stay conscious and awake and listen and follow that guidance. Because wherever we are here for the presence and the love of God to work through us. And in our opening song, it said it so perfectly. I release and I let go. I let the Spirit run my life. My heart is open wide. I'm only here for God. No more struggle, no more strife. With my faith, I see the light. I am free in the Spirit. Yes, I'm only here for God. Myrtle Fillmore, in her book Healing Letters, which is my book of the month, which I love, said, "God is the one perfect life flowing through us. God is the only reality of us." Live one day as if that's true and see what happens to your life. God is always speaking to you. Listen, listen. That voice will speak to you in a way that you will understand. It may not be the same for everybody, but it will speak to you and it will be clear if you listen. And then you need to kind of go with it, to trust it, let it guide you, and constantly say, in every now moment, "Holy Spirit, tell me what to do." This is your mantra this week. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. And then listen. And then follow that voice. I guarantee you, it will be the best advice you will ever get. God bless you.